Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is arisen. Hallelujah. That is the message that we hear. When we listen to the gospel lesson, we find that women are going early in the morning to the tomb. They had not had time on the Friday to prepare Jesus' body. It was prepared by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus in the way of the Jews, that is, putting linen cloths on and weighing it down with spices. But the usual cleaning and ointment rubbing had not been done. And after all, it was only 3 days by Jewish counting, that the body had been dead. There is still time to do the right thing according to the Jewish traditions. They were not expecting any happiness. They were not expecting any type of joy that morning. They certainly weren't expecting to have the stone rolled away and the body not to be there. That's what they were confronted with. And then, as they were standing there, two men with the glory of God, angels, surrounding them, they were frightened. They bowed down to the earth. What is going on, they wondered. And they ask a question. And it's not a rhetorical question. It is a real question. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? And then they say the most important part for our learning, which is, remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. And this is not a question like, don't you remember what he says? No, this is the word of God through the angelic being saying, remember. And so what do? They remember. When God gives an order through his word, it is obeyed. And they remember what he said. And they're filled with joy. And they go off to the disciples. That's the great news that they had. Now you notice what the women remembered and they were to tell the disciples. The disciples thought it was an idle tale. In other words, you might have seen something, but we're not sure exactly what you have seen. These are the future pastors of the Christian church. These are the apostles that will go out boldly and tell of Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. But right now, they're being told the word of God by the congregation, the women. And they're supposed to teach the word of God. And they're supposed to confess what the church teaches. The words of God, by whomever they're spoken, are not to be laid aside. That is the other message that we have this morning for Easter, that when angels are speaking for Christ, they are to be believed. Well, Peter, we know from the Gospel of John, also John ran to the tomb, looked inside and saw the linen clothes lying by themselves. So he was amazed and marveled. Notice what it doesn't say there. It doesn't say, he believed and went and told the apostles that it was true. No, that's going to have to come later. The apostles are as stubborn as anybody here in this church. Now, we Bible-believing Christians rightly criticize churches and preachers who have departed from God's written word and promotes all kinds of doctrines, teaching invented by men. But we need to stop and consider first that Peter and the other apostles, those preachers, rejected the first message that they heard. The first Christians were overwhelmed by their grief and fear. Why would someone rise from the dead? It is only that angelic word that gives to the women the insight that they need. Remember what he said to you. Well, we believe. Well, at least theoretically we believe, because we will confess it I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And, or, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life to the world to come. So we confess. But we also must confess that we too are much like the apostles and the women at the tomb. We face death close up and personal when we're feeling overwhelmed, when it seems impossible for us to deal with what life has dealt out or what sin has dealt out in our lives. We are to confess, but the words and comforts and encouragement, although they are around, our hearts at times are stuck with what we have seen and experienced. For many, suffering and pain become their interpretive principle for the faith, and that faith becomes weak. Did you hear what the angels said, though, and what Scripture taught? The Son of Man must be delivered, suffer, crucified, and the third day rise again. This is how it is to be, because God promised it to be so, and because God's love requires it to be so. The Messiah does not just change in a flash of light to the risen Lord. There must be suffering, there must be death, and then there must be resurrection. You see, we would like to have the resurrection without the death. If we're honest about it, we do not want to suffer. We do not think suffering is a good thing. And our interpretive principle becomes the best thing we can do, the most we can do, is not suffer too much in this life. But, and with along that way comes those who would repackage the Christian message, the gospel message. Because this suffering and death part does not play well to our modern ears. You see, the death and resurrection do not resonate. And so there are those who would broadly define the gospel as good news for any bad situation. And that way it will apply specifically, because after all, everyone faces troubles. And God wants to help you out of your troubles. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to have those things go on in your life. And so it's a gospel of works. What I mean by this is there are many bad situations that you face that the gospel, the true gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting are not going to change. If you lose your job, your friends, your money, your spouse, if you suffer betrayal, if you go blind, if you have deep illness, the gospel of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection is not a message that you will get a better job, make more money, secure for yourself better friends, bring you back your lost friendships, and restore you to soundness of body. That is some gospel that is not what we're given. Remember, the Christ must suffer and die and be raised from the dead. See, that's the comfort we have. It is specifically the gospel that Jesus died, not someone else. Not some general idea of suffering, but Jesus, who deserved nothing but honor, praise, and glory for all the good that he did. And his message of forgiveness to all those people, he did not deserve death according to our ways. But God had it so that he would suffer and die and rise. You see, Jesus' word is uniquely true. What I mean by that is that Jesus didn't say, well, someday it'll get better. He said, no, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. He will suffer and die and rise on the third day. The women and the apostles were supposed to be, to be aware of this. That is what the message of Easter is. Don't you remember what was taught? And the answer is, no, we don't remember. So God's word says, remember this. His death had taken place. His suffering had taken place so that our suffering, our death, would be changed. That is, changed to eternal life. His resurrection shows that his death and suffering were accepted on our behalf, and that we will receive the glorious resurrection. Now, this message is not good news to those whose greatest love is their job, their money, their friends, earthly comfort, and all the things that the world can provide that our flesh finds happiness in. There is no great joy in the message of suffering, death, and resurrection. But for those whose sins burden their conscience, for those who are suffering the multitudes of difficulties in this life caused by sin, those who are tempted to go away and learn their own way, those who are sorry for their sins but are powerless to make things right, those who yearn for a life set free from the flesh and the sins of the world, the attacks of the devil, Easter, the message of suffering, death, and resurrection is very good news. So this day we proclaim that the burdens of being sinners in this sinful world have found their relief in Jesus Christ, and that we again and again turn to what is to be remembered, the words of our Lord, God's word, the scripture, for it says what must be, because he is the Lord of life, because he is the creator, redeemer, and sanctified. That's why God wants you here. That's why God wants you in his word. That's why he wants you to have conversations with each other, not about the difficulties that you face and some human answers to them, but so that you confirm with each other the forgiveness of sins, that you remind each other again and again that Christ's death and resurrection is for you, that it's the truth. He gives you new life. He promises you that every time you come to hear God's word, to receive his body and blood, you are renewed in life, in forgiveness. He rose from the dead so that you could be assured that whatever you face, the gospel for you is Jesus' death and resurrection for you, for the forgiveness of sins and life eternal. May this Easter peace continue to follow you day by day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.